This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Go 24/7 podcast, an NFL draft cut of the pod on the 24/7 Sports Podcast Network. I'm Billy Umbody. With me, Shay Dixon, both of us from Go247.com, to break down the news that came on NFL draft night, the first night, Thursday night. The number one overall pick in the 2020 NFL draft. It seems like we've been waiting for this since he accepted the Heisman Trophy in New York City in December. Joe Burrow goes to the Cincinnati Bengals to play in his home state of Ohio. His parents with him in Athens, taking it all in virtually, of course. But Shay, this has been a long time coming. The Bengals got plenty of offers for this pick, including the Miami Dolphins trying to move up multiple times to trade for the number one pick, but the Bengals get their franchise quarterback for what I think will be the better part of a decade here, at the very least, in Joe Burrow.
Yeah, I mean, you look at what the – gosh, I bet, Billy, that when the Bengals started sucking enough last year to where they had only – for a stretch had won no games, and then it only won about three games. And then it became evident that the Dolphins and Redskins, your Redskins, had outpaced them a little bit. I think that's when they simultaneously looked up, saw they had Andy Dalton, looked around what was happening in college football. At about that time, Burrow was really kind of just running away with everything as the Heisman favorite, had beaten Alabama. All of that had become sort of in the rear view. I would think that late October, November, they knew that's the pick they wanted to make. And he goes back to Ohio, as you said, the hometown kid. And Billy, let's start here. And we're not keeping everybody here on the pod forever. We'll get to our quick reactions and let everybody kind of soak it in and go from there. But I will say that for the Bengals, like for a number one pick where you have no energy in a fan base and you really don't have a ton of good players, getting a guy who was like the best, you know, statistically the best single season ever for a college quarterback is great. It's phenomenal. It's all that. But having that person also be someone from your state in a state like Ohio and have been so much of kind of what's the word, Billy, like a figurehead, but just in the spotlight of every time the Heisman, maybe most notably, but he made it about Athens, the plains, you know, Ohio, the state of Ohio, the people there. So for the Bengals to get that part of it tossed in with, you know, a guy who did play at Ohio State for a stretch and then became obviously the talent that he is, it couldn't have worked out better. And I think that's why we saw them make that decision a long time ago. And that's why there was beyond kind of, you know, the here and there stuff. And Schefter saying, as you noted, Billy, that the Dolphins, there were teams out there that we're trying to move up and get the pick, but boy, Cincy, and you've been around the NFL long enough, Billy, you know, no way they were ever going to do anything with this pick but secure Burrow and sort of everything that came with him.
Yeah, because if you know one thing about the NFL, even if they got, what, four first-round picks in the future or three and a couple second-rounders to slide down number five and take another quarterback, if Burrow goes on to have a decade plus of success in the NFL, a few Pro Bowls, maybe a Super Bowl, and he does it elsewhere, how dumb do you look? I mean, you can't replace getting a cornerstone franchise quarterback, and if that's what you think Joe Burrow is, which a lot of people do, then you've got to take him, and so it just totally made sense for them. I think it's a great fit. I think when you got somebody like A.J. Green, who's been around a while, Joe Mixon's a promising young running back. They've got some pieces here for at least Burrow, and we've talked about this a little bit kind of off the pod, to have success as a rookie quarterback. He's probably going to be the starter week one for the Bengals when they take the field, and it makes sense. He's somebody that's a coach's son. He works really, really hard. I mean, we heard the stories from when he entered LSU and beat the rest of the quarterbacks running the 110s and, you know, went to work right away. And yeah, the success that he had as a senior didn't come right away, but it rarely does when you're entering the first year as a starting quarterback anywhere. So I think he's going to have success early on in this with this franchise, and he's going to be somebody that is going to make Pro Bowls for years to come. But what's next for the Bengals is putting together a team around him that can help him be successful for the years to come. And for the Bengals, I think that's addressing the offensive line. I think that's potentially going and finding another wide receiver for him and just trying to put together a team around him that can help him do some of the things that we saw him do at LSU.
Yeah, I mean, see, that's one big thing. The O-line has got to get better, and you've got to find a way to protect him and put him in some sort of spot to win, because Dalton wasn't there. You know, and Dalton is obviously, I don't think, is the talent that Joe Burrow was coming out of TCU. But in recent years, I mean, yeah, they've got Mixon, but they had that odd run of Giovanni Bernard and Jeremy Hill and them and drafting guys relatively high that then they just kind of, then they turn around and take Mixon, you know, and then what can we trust from AJ Green? We'll see. Is AJ Green one of the freakiest receivers of the past 20 years? Absolutely. He has been an absolute baller since he was in 10th grade or whatever, and everybody figured out who AJ Green was. The reality is he hasn't played football in like 2 years, and how healthy is he going to be? I like Tyler Boyd. I mean, Tyler Boyd the past couple of years was really the only thing that the Bengals had going for him in the passing game, given John Ross was, what, in and out of the lineup. C.J. Uzomah has had one good year maybe a couple of years ago, and even then it would be kind of an average year for a tight end. And as you mentioned, the O-line is probably what really they need to start with. And we're cutting this podcast. We've just seen Burrow get taken number one and immediately hopped on it. So we'll see where the Bengals go throughout the weekend, right, of what they can do with this draft class. But, yes, O-line, a big thing I think that they'll have to figure out. And, again, and we said this in the morning buzz, Burrow can have some success this year. Hell, look at Kyler Murray. They won like 3 games or 4 games, and he was offensive rookie of the year. And it wasn't like he was an absolute, you know, balling out of control. He played really well for a rookie, and it was evident that he was worth the number one pick, and they gave it to him as the offensive rookie of the year, though maybe Josh Jacobs should have won it. Point being, even if they can win some game, a handful of games, I think people will have a chance to see that at least the promise is there with Burrow. And then much like the Cardinals this year, everybody's like, all right, get Kyler Murray a left tackle, get him another receiver, much exactly like you just said, Billy, get him another weapon there, get him an O-lineman or two that can help, and you feel good about it. So who knows how good the Bengals will be next year? Probably not that great, but I think that if he can show some signs of life, much like Kyler Murray did, it'll energize people enough to where kind of the fan base will be clamoring, look, continue to spend money to put pieces around him. Hey, look, before we get too deep into things and even wrapping things up, I did want to ask you this, and you can pick anybody ever. When you talk about Burrow translating to the next level, is there a quarterback, and you can throw out the Tom Brady's of the world. I'm not asking how good they're going to match what they did for a career, but who does he remind you of? Like, what kind of quarterback are the Bengals getting in Burrow when he's at his best?
I think he doesn't really remind me of Tom Brady, just because Brady's very much a kind of a statue.
Yeah. I just meant you can name anybody. It doesn't matter how good they are. Yeah. You can name them.
Yeah, but Brady's a name that's been brought up around Burrow a lot ahead of the draft, and I didn't see it as much. I see Aaron Rodgers. I see a little bit of Ben Roethlisberger, so probably a mix between those two guys. Probably the frame and the quickness of Aaron Rodgers, and then the mobility and ability to manipulate the pocket like Ben Roethlisberger, and kind of that longer release that Roethlisberger has. I mean, two Hall of Fame quarterbacks. So, I mean, it's no slight to not say he's got some Tom Brady in him, but I just think the way he extends plays is very Roethlisberger, very Aaron Rodgers like. They can throw the ball down the field in a similar fashion, and in the same respect, Rodgers has that kind of flick of the wrist that we've seen from Burrow when he gets outside of the pocket, kind of dumps it off, lets some of his playmakers make plays back when he really had some talent around him. at receiver. So I think Burrow's going to have to do a lot of what Rodgers does, extends plays in his rookie year. And so I think those two guys are the ones that stand out to me. What about you, Shea?
You know, a lot of people toss around Tony Romo. I think Romo, he does remind me of what he's able to do in terms of kind of escapability or at least keeping things alive. But Romo was pegged being so unclutch often, at least in big time situations in the playoffs for the Cowboys, which they're under the biggest microscope. I get it. But I think for a lot of reasons, and I'm not saying he's this good of a player, even though he did just have the best college season ever. He reminds me a little bit of Joe Montana in terms of, I think if you put him on a good team, he's a good, like he does have a Dan Marino arm where, you know, he's got this no hitch, unbelievable release, but more like a Montana to where if he's in the pocket, if he's off platform, if he's running, you know, outside the pocket and creating something that way, it reminds me in a sense of that's kind of how Montana played. And he was clutch. I mean, if you put good players around a quarterback like that, it was almost, I mean, it was almost impossible to beat him. And fourth quarter comebacks or Super Bowls or whatever it was, I feel like that's kind of how Burrow is. And I hate that he's going to the Bengals because they suck. And I don't, not saying that one guy can't resurrect it, but it ain't high school and it ain't college. You know, I mean, these guys, you can have a Hall of Famer at quarterback, and if you don't have good guys around you and your team's not very good, you're not going to win very much, and just because everybody's so good. So maybe a little Montana. I haven't ever really heard that thrown around with him, but for me it kind of reminds me that. And then all of the craziness of the, you know, spinning out of everything and throwing it a million yards down the field to Terrace Marshall, that's all got like some Archie Manning in him. So a little bit of both, maybe. It's just kind of my two cents. I'm with you, though. I'm not like on the whole Brady train.
You went real throwbacks, and I went real kind of modern NFL on that one. So I mean, you're not that much older than me, but you kind of showed your age there.
Oh well, no, okay. I guess I've probably just watched a lot of NFL films over the years. It's probably what it is when you stay up too late. Nothing else is on TV. But yeah, that'll be my pick. And hell, there, while I'm at it, I'll just name Miles Brennan Dan Marino because he actually does have that quick release. So, look, LSU's got nothing but legends, Billy. That's just how I'm rolling today.
We'll find out if Miles Brennan can bring home a championship where Dan Marino couldn't in his career. But, yeah, I mean, I was going to say that the quarantine really hitting hard for you watching all those old NFL games, but I guess you've just studied up on them. So we've got some time now. We're going to see how the NFL draft plays out over the course of the rest of the first round, but I'm sure some people will be listening to this after that is all wrapped up. But we're going to get back to watching the NFL draft now as Joe Burrow goes number one, as expected, over to Cincinnati, where he will play in his home state of Ohio, the number one overall pick in the NFL draft, Joe Burrow. That will do it for this edition of the Go 24/7 podcast. Thanks for listening, guys. Quick reminder, take 50% off of an annual subscription to Go 24/7 all the way through the NFL draft. So we encourage you guys to check that out. We're still churning out plenty of recruiting content. LSU got a commitment from four-star wide receiver JoJo Earl right before the NFL draft. We've got a ton of coverage up of that. So check all that out on the site and stick with us for more coverage of the 2020 NFL draft.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want to win your fantasy football league, it starts right now. The offseason is the best time to get ahead of the competition. We'll help you win your league on the Fantasy Football Today podcast, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network. Fantasy Football Today has three episodes every week following the latest news, giving you early rankings, early sleepers, breakouts, and busts. So if you're a dedicated fantasy football manager, check out the most dedicated podcast, Fantasy Football Today. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found.